All right, welcome back in 8:32. It's a Thursday morning. We're live this morning drive from Bridgestone Arena. The Predators and the Penguins tonight. But to get some football analysis as to what John Robinson has done so far and what could be on the verge of happening over the next couple of days and weeks, we welcome in Adam Kaplan, SiriusXM NFL analyst and NFL insider. Adam, good morning. How are you?
Guys, good to talk to you today.
Great to have you in. I know you're pressed for time. We'll get right to it. So far, John Robinson, a lot of people of the belief he's had a really good offseason, filling needs, not overspending, and finding really those quality players at the right price. How would you evaluate his free agency to date, and do you think he's got any more moves left?
Yeah, well, I mean, overspending is relative to what really the market, and Robinson came out and spent big on Roger Saffold. The concern was there, from what I understand, the Bills were involved, and the Titans, if they want to get Saffold, they had to give him a monster contract, and they did that. You could say they overpaid, but as long as he plays as well as he has in the past, you're not worrying about what you're paying. It's all about performance. And then, you know, Adam Humphries was a guy that I did some reporting on last week. There were about half a dozen teams involved, and quite frankly, there were other teams talking to people close to Humphries that were willing to actually pay more. Humphries now will be their slot receiver. They've got Corey Davis on the outside. They need to upgrade opposite Corey Davis. They're something that I think Robinson can look toward in the draft. They're not going to get that what's left in free agency. And, you know, we're at the point of free agency now that this is where you get bargains. This is where you could get some underrated players. But you're not, on paper, you're not likely, other than Kenny Vaccaro, were they able to get that done last year, and boy, that turned out to be a great move. You simply don't get those high-ranking free agents. It's really now you're looking more toward the draft.
So I think, generally there's a national perception of the Titans and Marcus and John Robinson and the free agent signings and all this stuff, but it feels like we sort of have just in 1 year glossed over the fact and accepted that Mike Vrabel is clearly the answer. It might be the reason why the Titans will be picked ahead of the Texans. Obviously, the offensive line for Houston is a big concern as well. What are your thoughts and what are the opinions nationally of Mike Vrabel? And is he just sort of established himself very quickly in 1 year as a good head coach moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, you need time to evaluate a head coach. It's never about 1 year. It's about three or four. Mike's off to a good start. He's got total command, total respect to the players, which is what the belief around the league was about him coming in. And everyone knows about the relationship between Vrabel and John Robinson, and that's not a secret. You know, the two men know each other from New England. Ja got someone who he trusted, and so far, so good. But, you know, the roster needs some upgrades. John's done a very good job as a general manager. The big thing we didn't talk about, Marcus Mariota, that is to me the total key for this team to make the playoffs. To have a chance to be a wild card team or to have a chance to win the AFC South, though I think the Colts are in a better position to, but to take that next jump, to be a solid playoff team, Marcus Mariota, A, has got to stay healthy, which has been a major problem for him. They've got to protect him better, and he just has to play better. That to me is a concern. Now, and let's not forget, Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator, has not called plays before, from what I understand. So this is going to be a challenge for him. And don't underestimate the addition of Todd Downing, who's now going to coach tight ends. He's a guy that's really highly thought of around the league, and that was a pretty significant hire for them. And my sense is, from talking to people, that he'll probably help Arthur Smith out quite a bit because he's been a play caller before. He's been a quarterback's coach, a really good developer of quarterbacks, so that was a really good addition. But overall, there's certainly some questions with this Titans team. Let's not underestimate that. But the roster overall is pretty good. But I think it really starts with the quarterback. He's got to play better.
Now, Adam, a two-part question for you real quickly. Based upon what you just said about the quarterback, they've addressed somewhat their needs on the defensive side of the ball. Defensive end going to get Cameron Wake. I know he's not a long-term. He's more so of a short-term. Based upon that, do you think now they have the ability to put more on the offensive side of the ball to help Marcus off via the draft? And then, two, where does this put the Titans as far as the AFC South? Does this put them closer to Indianapolis, or there's still that big gap between Indy, the Titans, and Houston?
Yeah, Derek, I think that the issue here is that you mentioned Cameron Wake, who's a tremendous leader. I know for the talking to the Dolphins in the past, I mean, they absolutely love the guy. What a story coming out of Penn State. Went to the CFL. He's been a terrific football player and a leader. But, you know, he's 37 years old. So to expect him to be a guy who can make a major impact in terms of sack production and pressure, I think that's, you got to wait and see. Now, Harold Landry now being a full-time player, is a guy that I know they absolutely love, who's certainly flashed. Now he's got to play a lot with Morgan unsigned, and we'll see if they approach him. And obviously, Arakpo's retiring. Defensively, Casey's a phenomenal football player, one of the most underrated defensive players in the National Football League. The front seven should be pretty good. The cornerback position's got to be better. It's got to be more consistent. Byard's a star that, as we all know in tennis, in Nashville, how good he is, but I think nationally not a lot of people know about. Yeah, I don't worry too much about the defense. I think Dean Pease being back and with Rabel there, I think they'll be fine defensively. Offensively, it's got to be more consistent. And I think, to me, heading into the draft, they just need more playmakers at wide receiver. I mean, they've got one guy, Corey Davis, who needs to be more consistent. We know about a little bit of an injury history. Talented guy, but he entered his third year. Typically, this is where receivers take off in their third or fourth year, especially former first-round picks, as they start to learn the league. I just think and Delanie Walker, we didn't mention him. I mean, he's coming back from a significant injury that they've got. And Jonnu Smith coming back from his ACL injury. I'm told they're not going to have him until training camp, so... The other thing we need to mention here, and this is going to help Marcus Mariota, is Derrick Henry. Can he continue that tremendous play down the stretch? I mean, this is something we had not seen from him. Where let's face it, quite frankly, for 2.5 seasons, he looked like he was going to be a bust. And then all of a sudden, as he said, coming out of the bye, he studied his tape and he looks like a player. If they could rely on him, he'll help Marcus Mariota. But I think overall, guys, when we analyze this team, there's still some questions. And to end it, just on this discussion about where they're at, I still think the Colts are better. Now, the Colts have questions, by the way. The roster is clearly not good enough to be a Super Bowl team. But when you have a superstar quarterback and you protect him well, look how great the Colts' offensive line was. And when you guys look at the Colts over the years, how many times did you say, boy, the Colts' offensive line is bad, but Chris Ballard has done a phenomenal job of understanding it starts with the offensive line.
Adam Kaplan, SiriusXM NFL analyst. Good stuff as always, Adam. We appreciate the time. Thank you.
Guys, thank you.
You got it. You guys surprised? I think the number is roughly $77 million. Chris Ballard has not been that active in free agency.
I'm not too surprised. I think they probably kicked the tires on a few guys that were the more notable free agents early on. But I think once that didn't materialize to anything, I think he's more so of a, now I'm going to wait and see. I'm going to allow these guys to go test the market and say he might be the one that goes and get a Justin Houston. Because now Justin Houston, he wanted 13, and now we can get it for 10 or 9.
And he's got the money to
exactly.
spend.
Exactly, right. And I got the money to spend. I'm just going to go out there and get free agents.
Really interesting note there from him is that he said the Colts still have rosters problems, and they're not close to being a Super Bowl roster, which means you can catch them. You may not beat him, and certainly we know the history of the Titans versus Andrew Luck, but it means they're catchable. And if you play with the best defense in the AFC and you get a good running game and Marcus is more protected and more efficient, they're not far off, right? They were only a game back of the Colts last year. So it's not like the division. And listen, what were we saying about Jacksonville 2 years ago, right? Like, oh, best team in the division, no question. And then they finished in last place. So it's so volatile. It's so year to year. I think what's fascinating is we spent the entire offseason last year discussing the controversy of one thing, the head coach. Mm-hmm. Super controversial, right? They win a playoff game, they fire the coach. Super controversial press conference and hiring, and they bring in Vrabel 32nd in defense in Houston. And now, not a word. When we think about Titans topics for the show and we come up with ideas, where's Mike Vrabel on this list?
Never discussed.
Never even comes up. Huh? And it's because I think people are like, yep, He's the guy. Now, he needs to keep winning, and we need to see growth and progress. There were certainly some games where they played down to the competition, Buffalo, right? So they're going to have to be sort of like the Preds are inconsistent this year. They had some inconsistencies. They played up to the competition. But I think we all sort of have bought into Mike Vrabel, and we believe in Mike Vrabel as the head coach. So that's the thing we talked about every day last year, and now it's not even a topic.
We do believe in him as the head coach, and I think the thing is everybody believes he's a – I hate to use the cliche leader of men, but, like, he commands respect. Mm-hmm. But do we know one way or the other if he is a very good X's and O's guy?
Well, you don't – do you have to be as the head coach?
No. And we hopefully we never have to find out.
Because, like, so what are some of the narratives? Bill Belichick is a genius.
Yeah.
Andy Reid gets out-coached in big spots.
Uh-huh. But is also an offensive – but is also considered an offensive genius sort of too.
But never can be – he's never labeled a guy that can, like, think on his feet. Give him the bye week, he's unbelievable coming off of it. What do we know about Vrabel the tactician?
I think Vrabel the tactician is what he was as a player, which is he is great at developing talent. I think he can take a player – like Jadeveon Clowney, and mold him into a star, right? Like, I think he can take – I think the guys who benefit the most from Vrabel are Jayon Brown, Rashawn Evans, Harold Landry. I mean, that's what Mike Vrabel did for all those years is just outplay people from a technician standpoint, right? Like, he wasn't this freak athlete coming out of Ohio State. So I think he is a great tactician on an individual player basis. I don't know if he can drop an entire scheme on a defense and out-scheme somebody, but –
and I think that's what you were saying, Nick. Is he from an X's and O's standpoint, not necessarily from a developmental standpoint? And from an X's and O's standpoint, I don't want to have to find out. Honestly, I really don't.
It's not really his job, right?
Because you know, when he was the X's and O's guys, we saw what happened. You know, with the Houston Texans, their defense wasn't as good. And now, granted, they dealt with injuries too, but still. And then when he had to make calls. You know, at a point of time last year, it didn't work out particularly well.
The challenges were the ones that were
he is more so of the manager. He's good at managing, being the CEO. He's good at motivating. He's good at, okay, I can help these guys. I can give you some tidbits on what's going to make you better as a player because right. I went through the same thing. But he's not going to be the guy that in the middle of the game, I'm going to draw up these 5-10 plays, and here, this is what you do, and this is going to work. He's not that guy. He's just the opposite of that. That's why he hired Dean Pease.
Right, right. Now, he did have a couple special teams calls that were pretty genius. I mean, he had a couple, you know, the Crookshank touchdown pass. I mean, the fake punt. I mean, those are the coach going, hey, I want to run the fake punt here, right? I mean, that's the coach. So
beat Belichick and Andy Reid, or Belichick and Doug Peterson in year one.
He is not he's not an offensive guy, so he's never going to drop offensive game plans. But I bet you he and Pease sit in that room together, and he's going, I really like this style of a blitz, or I really like that. And then Pease is the great veteran that goes out and executes it. But I think every player on defense gets better from being around Mike Vrabel because he develops those guys.
Coming up next, it is time for another installment of the world-famous Stick to Sports. That's next here on Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.